stepping up.
Everybody working. Now challenge each other.
You want? I'll fight for you.
Let's go.
He played the main, baby. Let's get him.
And welcome to our Friday edition of Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Chris McPherson. Please be joined by my right-hand man, Bo Wolf. And Bo, Eagles Giants, 6-3 Giants, 3-6 Eagles, Sunday Night Football, entire season on the line for the Philadelphia Eagles. What is your feeling going into this big Sunday night matchup?
To be honest, I'm weirdly optimistic.
Are you?
Obviously, you would look at 3-6 going to 6-3, and you'd think the 6-3 team is favored, and certainly they are. But something tells me, you know, some people have said maybe there was a lack of motivation last week against the Cardinals. There's certainly no lack of motivation this week. We know from talking to the guys in the locker room that the Giants are the team that they hate the most, the team that they love to play against. And so I think that certainly they will be motivated. And obviously the big question is who's going to be a quarterback. Michael Vick, the two lower broken ribs, hasn't practiced this week. You know, they're going to hope that he gets better, but all signs do point to Vince Young getting his first start as an Eagle. And I'm excited to see what he can do, and I'm excited to see what a guy like DeSean Jackson can do after being deactivated last week for missing the meeting and going up against a Giants team that shut him down in week three. But he loves playing in primetime, we know that, and certainly he's going to look to make a statement. We remember when he was played at Giants Stadium two seasons ago on Sunday Night Football. His performance there, unbelievable. I think that he certainly will be motivated.
It was that 45-38 shootout. He had the punt return for the touchdown. The Giants came back, took the lead, and he had that big 60-yard touchdown reception, if I'm correct, on the very next play to get the Eagles back ahead. But we have a great show for you on this Friday. We always break down the X's and O's, and we always give the opposing team perspective as we go behind enemy lines. We're going to have Paul Schwartz from the New York Post joining us in a little bit to do that. We have Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com. With all these injury situations for the Eagles, how does that factor into your Week 11 matchups and also some waiver wire picks up that you need to make around National Football League? And Jimmy Kempsky, who blogs for Blogging the Beast as well as Bleeding Green Nation, he's going to be on with us to give us kind of a big picture look at the NFC East, as well as one team that the Eagles beat a couple weeks ago that's starting to look pretty good after the last couple of weeks. But we're also taking your phone calls and your predictions on this game. 215-339-6709 is the telephone number. And the big story all week has been the quarterback situation. Who is going to start? Is it going to be Michael Vick, or is Vince Young going to get his first start as a Philadelphia Eagle? And Vince Young, he's played against the Giants before in his career, twice as a member of the Tennessee Titans, and he's acquitted himself quite nicely in those two games,
Indeed.
Winning both of those starts. Over 100 quarterback rating, no turnovers, 3 touchdowns passing, another one rushing. You know, if between him and LeSean McCoy, you could have a pretty deadly combination there for that Giants defense, which the Eagles did a very, very good job of running against, if you remember, in that first meeting back in week 3.
Yeah, in that game, LeSean McCoy, I think, had 24 carries for 128 yards, something like that. One of the more impressive games that he's had this season. And obviously, it's been a great season for LeSean McCoy. And I do think that he's going to get the ball a lot this game. One of the differences between last week when DeSean Jackson was deactivated right before the game, I don't think the game plan was to give LeSean McCoy the ball that much. They were looking at the Cardinals' defense, and they had planned to try to take some shots deep. They thought there would be some things there. Whereas this week, knowing that Michael Vick may not play, knowing that Jeremy Maclin probably won't play, I think that the game plan probably will be built around getting the ball in the hands of LeSean McCoy.
I just wonder, what would it take for Michael Vick? And Michael Vick, I talked to him after practice, and he said, you know, he didn't practice. He wanted to wait until Friday. He would talk on Friday before he made any statements to the media. I just wonder, what will he have to show the coaches to be able to play, and what does he need to feel himself? Because either way, he's going to have to go out there and play with pain. And if that pain was a factor in terms of his accuracy last Sunday against the Cardinals, you know, the punishment that he's been taking on a week-in, week-out basis, do you want to risk putting him out there knowing that another blow, you know, could make the injury worse potentially, could give him some more pain? You know, he's been dealing with some injuries throughout the course of the season. He had the concussion. He had the bruised hand, which, of course, knocked him out of that first game against the Giants. Or do you want to go with the guy who's taken all the reps this week in practice? The guys feel pretty good about going out there from what they've seen in practice so far of Vince Young. Do you give him the opportunity? Because this is really why you signed him.
It's exactly right.
This is what you brought up. This is why you spent the money to bring in a big-time backup quarterback, knowing that, look, obviously you have faith in Michael Vick that he can go out there and play every week. But if he can't, and this has just been true of every NFL team, you need to have a competent backup plan. And Mike Kafka has shown that he could play pretty well at times if needed to. But you want a big-time guy with starting experience where if you had to miss a game or two along the way, that your playoff dreams and hopes wouldn't be dashed because you didn't have a good enough quarterback in there to play. This is why you signed Vince Young. To me, if he's getting the reps in practice, we'll wait to see what happens today out there. I think he's got to be the guy on Sunday. Now, the thing with Vince Young is he only signed a one-year contract. In his mind, as he's preparing for this game, is the pressure of essentially playing for his next contract to prove to the other 31 NFL teams that he can be a starting quarterback? Is the pressure of that moment going to get to him being on prime time, going against a very good New York Giants pass rush?
Well, I certainly think it will motivate him. And as you said, this is the reason they brought him in here. I'm intrigued to see what Vince Young can do with a full week of practice, taking the starter reps. Obviously, he had that ugly interception coming in the Redskins game, being thrown in there to replace Michael Vick, rather. But I do think that this is a guy who's won games in the league. He's a dual pass run threat, and I'm excited to see sort of what the offensive game plan is, how they tailor that around Vince Young's strengths. And as you said, a very good Giants front forward at the very least.
Yes, yes.
Will be a good test for Vince Young. And then on the other side of the ball, listen, outside of Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and maybe Drew Brees, nobody's playing quarterback better than Eli Manning right now. That's going to be a very tough test for this Eagles defense. They're going to be without Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. Jose Luhansson obviously gets a reprise at the nickel position, and then another small little change. It sounds like Keenan Clayton's going to be the nickel linebacker aside from next to Jamar Chaney. So they're doing some things on defense, and obviously the defense played well last week until the fourth quarter, and that's sort of been the MO for many games this season. Obviously, 5 fourth quarter blown leads. I'm excited to see what the defense has in store for Eli Manning and the likes of Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz.
Here's the thing. The defense, believe it or not, I know Tom Coughlin said this in his press conference, and I think reporters might have thought it was fluff, but he noted how the defense has played much better since that first meeting back in week 3. And the Eagles were really still trying to get their bearings back in that game earlier this season. And you saw a lot of mental miscues. You had Nnamdi Asamoah, who was possibly in position to either pick off or at least deflect the game-winning Victor Cruz touchdown, the second one of the game. You had one of the few blitzes that the Eagles have shown in the early part of the season. It came on that huge Victor Cruz touchdown where Kirk Coleman came over, missed the tackle. He was benched. And the safety position is a very intriguing one because Kirk Coleman has played very well since the benching. He got a chance to get back in the starting lineup against the Washington Redskins. He had that 3 interceptions there. He's had, I believe it's 25 tackles in the past 2 games, flying around the ball, doing a good job there. You're going to get Nate Allen back, which I don't think should be understated, because in that week 3 game against the Giants, he was thrown into the fire, still trying to get his legs under him after that knee injury last season, which happened at New Meadowlands, MetLife, whatever it's called now. He's been playing much better of late. So obviously he's coming off the concussion. You're going to want to see how he performs out there, but I think you have a nice duo there. And not for nothing, maybe Jose Luhansson going back to the nickel is something that this defense could use right now because he has the experience there. He's very good at playing there. He's a solid player there. He's played this Giants team over and over throughout the years. Maybe I understand Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is kind of like the better option long-term as he's working his way to get to the level where he needs to be proficient at that slot cornerback spot. But in a must-win game, a must-have-the-best-guy for the moment situation, maybe it's not the worst thing to have Jose Luhansson in there.
Absolutely. And then the last phase, obviously special teams. The specialists, for the most part, did a very good job last week. One of the bright spots for the Eagles in that loss. And the coverage teams continue to be outstanding. Colt Anderson and Riley Cooper, both studs there. The Giants don't really scare you that much on special teams. That should be one of the few places looking at it where the Eagles have a big advantage.
No, I mean, it's kind of gone under the radar because of the Eagles' struggles and their 3-6 record, but the special teams coverage units have been borderline outstanding this season. And you know, I know you've been a Colt Anderson fan
always
for the year and a half
since
that
the day I was born.
In the time that he's been here, you know, we had him in the studio and we're beating the drum for him to get some more recognition for the Pro Bowl. I'm kind of intrigued what they're going to do because one of the other very good special teams players has been Akeem Jordan. He's now in the starting lineup in the base defense. I don't know how often we'll see the base defense against the Giants. I mean, typically they're going to go three wide and we'll run the nickel. So we'll probably see a good amount of Keenan Clayton.
And that's why the Keenan Clayton thing is so interesting, is because we probably will see, I would maybe even say, a majority of the nickel defense.
Exactly. And that's pretty much been the case for the most of the season. Now, with Juan Castillo, he showed a lot more blitzing last week against Arizona Cardinals. And a lot of that is because of the fact that teams have been using the max protect schemes. You know, they've been trying to kind of offset the Eagles' pass rush with that front four. So they're keeping more guys in the block. So obviously to kind of beat that, Juan's trying to add some more pressure by blitzing. Eli Manning's very good against the blitz. Very good at getting the hot reads. Very good at pre-snap recognitions. Is he going to try to do that against a very good quarterback in Eli Manning? Someone who's been playing at... The thing with Eli is you knew you could get good Eli, you could get bad Eli. He's been playing at that good Eli level for pretty much the entire season here. Four touchdowns against no interceptions on a very few amount of passes in that first meeting back in week four. Some of it, again, mental miscues on the part of the Eagles, still trying to get, you know, trying to gel as a defense. I think the Eagles defense is better in that regard since that first meeting, but I still wonder how they're going to aggressively attack Eli Manning if the Giants take away that vaunted pass rush.
As much as I respect what Eli's done this season, doesn't it feel like he's due for a stinker?
I would hope so. You would certainly hope so. And for an Eagles team that needs to turn their season around to at least get something going in the right direction, just build some momentum in a positive direction, what better place to do it than the place where the miracle happened last year at MetLife Stadium, I think it was. Now, it seems like they had to rename it because of that stink job.
Yeah.
And you have to wonder if that's going to be in the Giants' minds at all going to this game, knowing that that performance happened there last season. You know, that was kind of the big topic for them all offseason, where they have to learn how to finish games. And credit the Giants that they've done a very good job in the fourth quarter of pulling out leads, coming from behind, and being able to hold off games, where the Eagles, again, like you said, Bo, have had to lead in five of the six losses going into the fourth quarter. And the point differential in the fourth quarter has just been atrocious this season. It's just one of the most mind-boggling aspects of this team is why, and it's not just defense, it's been offense as well, why they've not been able to be more productive in the fourth quarter.
Those five, you talked about the offense, those five fourth-quarter losses, 3 points combined, and that was last week.
Last week.
Before that, they hadn't scored in the fourth quarter. That's, I mean, obviously the defense takes a lot of the blame but the offense, you know, they got to get it done as well.
Yeah, so again, we want your, you know, there's a lot of Eagles topics going out there this week. We want your take on them. 215-339-6709 is a telephone number. What we're going to do now is we're going to take a quick commercial break here on Eagles Live. And you had a chance, to chat with Tony Dungy, Super Bowl winning head coach. Now he's an analyst for NBC Sports. He's on Football Night in America. And of course, the Eagles Giants game is on Sunday Night Football on NBC this week. Before we go into the break, what were some of the things that you were able to touch on with him? And I'm sure he had some good insight about Coach Reed and what he must be going through.
Yeah,
right now.
Some insightful stuff from Coach Dungy about sort of the mindset of this team, knowing that they have to pretty much win every game. Also, we know that he's close with Michael Vick, his thoughts on Michael Vick's continued development. And then what I thought was maybe one of the more interesting things, his take on Howard Mudd and what he's done with this Eagles offensive line. Of course, Coach Dungy coached with Howard Mudd for so long in Indianapolis.
Yes.
So check that out on the other side. We'll be back with more right here on Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Opportunity, opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day. Grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it. Snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why?
Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line.
Where are you going? Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Hey, the jewelry shop and he'll show you. Take her to the house again, Shady. No one moves like Shady. No one moves like Shady. No one moves like Shady.
It goes to McCoy, up the middle. He's at the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. He is in!
I'm LeSean McCoy, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our postgame show presented by Rico.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Welcome back to Eagles Nightly here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Very pleased to be joined by Tony Dungy, of course, the former Super Bowl winning head coach for the Indianapolis Colts and works for Sunday Night's Football in America. He'll be doing the game, the Eagles-Giants game on Sunday night. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's great to be with you. We're looking forward to a big game.
So are we. And obviously, it is a very big game for the Eagles, pretty much the season on the line, sitting at 3-6. Now, I know you haven't had too much experience with losing seasons, but when you're in a situation like this and the team has their backs against the wall, what kind of things do you do to sort of rally the troops?
Well, you know, you have to talk about playing one game at a time, and that's the hard thing, you know, because basically they're going to have to run the table. And if you look at it that way, oh, you know, seven games left and we've got to win them all, it can be a daunting task. But if you just look at it by saying, hey, we play good football at times, what we have to do is play one good game and then build on that. That's what you have to do, and they're capable of that. But as you say, it's going to be a big game, and this is pretty much for their NFC East lives.
And now you know Coach Andy Reid very well. Do you feel like he is a guy well-positioned to lead that kind of charge?
He is, and they've been through this before. You know, not to this extent maybe, but they've had stretches where they haven't played as well, and then you somehow get it going, and you get on that streak, and things change in a moment's time in the NFL. And Andy's been through it. I know one thing, the players believe in him. They've been to battle with him a lot, and I think you're going to see everything the Eagles have to offer on Sunday night.
Now, Coach, you were very instrumental in Michael Vick when he got out of prison and he came to the Eagles. Obviously, he lit the league on fire last year. He's had a little more some more interceptions this season, more turnovers. But what's your sense of his continued evolution at the quarterback position?
Well, I think he's developing and continuing to grow in that system. He played better last year than I ever imagined that he would be able to play after having that time off. This year, maybe not as spectacular results, and maybe trying to do a little bit too much. But that can happen when you aren't winning. And I think what Michael has to do is just get back to running the offense and executing, and they're going to be fine. But he's playing well, and I'm really proud of what he's done these last 2.5 years.
Now, if Michael's not able to go, it seems like all signs point to Vince Young being under center for the Eagles. You, of course, went up against Vince Young a lot back in your time with the Colts. What can you tell us about him?
Well, he's a talented guy, and I think you have to do the same thing for Vince Young that they did in Tennessee. You've got to tailor it to his strength. And if they, if he's playing, I'm sure Andy will have more stuff out of the pocket for Young and some design runs and things like that. And if they play to his strengths, he definitely, you know, has the weaponry where he can really make things happen.
Now, Coach, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about your old coaching mate, Howard Mudd. One of the big improvements this season for the Eagles has been that offensive line. They've been very good in terms of pass protection, and the Eagles lead the league in rushing. Talk about Howard Mudd's influence, and are you impressed with what he's been able to do with this Eagles offensive line on such short notice?
Well, I see a lot of the signs that Coach Mudd is there. Number one, I see the sprint draw, which is a play that we ran a lot for Edgerrin James, and they put that in, and LeSean McCoy is running it beautifully. I see the way they've kind of adjusted personnel, moved guys around, which is another trademark of Howard, and a little bit different sets in the pass protection. And I do see his handprints on things, and no question he's been a dynamic line coach in this league for a long time, and it's showing up.
And then finally, Coach, I don't want to put you on the spot too much, but how do you see the big Sunday night matchup working out between the Eagles and the Giants?
You know, if Michael Vick is able to play, I really think Philadelphia is going to come out and give the Giants a lot of problems. Just the matchups and how they throw the ball. If Michael is not able to play, then it's going to be kind of the surprise element. What do they do with Vince Young? How do they react? And, again, the Giants haven't seen that. So it's going to be a little hard to handicap if Michael doesn't play, but I would see Philly doing really well if Vic plays.
Coach, great to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us here on Eagles Nightly, and we look forward to watching you and the crew on Sunday night.
All right, sounds good. We think we're going to have a great game. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach, and we'll be back with much more on the other side right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Great insight there from Coach Dungy. It'll be great to hear him along with Rodney Harrison before the game on Sunday night. We also have the kickoff show beginning at 8 p.m., I believe, this Sunday night, as we'll be at MetLife Stadium, myself along with Dave Spadaro. You'll be hosting everything from back here in Philadelphia, and we'll have Barrett Brooks, former Eagle.
B-squared.
Yep, we'll have him in the
Xfinity Studio.
I was going to say the left-hand side chair, I guess.
The analyst.
The analyst role. For the post-game show presented by Rico after the game.
So you fancy yourself an analyst right now.
I wouldn't go that far. That's why I was trying to... The chair changes
okay.
When Barrett comes into the mix here. So again, we're taking your phone calls here, your predictions for the game. Are you optimistic that the Eagles should Vince Young get the start? And by the way, Jeff Mosher from the Wilmington News Journal is the first to put out a report that the Eagles have ruled out Michael Vick for this Sunday's game. Again, nothing official from the team. Andy Reid will address the media at 1 p.m. a little bit later on this afternoon following practice. Practice about to get underway. We will get the reports from all the Twitter feeds from what's going on the practice field. But obviously, if Michael Vick is not out there on the practice field, it doesn't look like he'll be able to go this Sunday.
Last injury we should talk about is Evan Mathis. He's coming back from that turf toe. He's been a full participant the last
yep.
2 days. Does seem like he's going to get the start of left guard, right?
Yes, I imagine him being in there. Jerry Macklin, the shoulder and the hamstring, doesn't look like he's going to be able to go. Riley Cooper, who you talked to in the studio on yesterday's Eagles Nightly,
yes.
seemed to be excited for the chance to start because he's the one who fills in that X receiver role should Macklin not be able to go.
Yeah, he's looking forward to it. Obviously, he had a drop last week and then another catch nullified, so he has no catches on the season. He's excited. And listen, it's a big difference between finding out the day of the game that you're going to be a part of the offense like last week and practicing the whole week with the game plan like he's done this week. And he's also, remember, worked with Vince Young throughout the preseason training camp and during the season. So he should have a little bit of a rapport with Vince Young. It could be an interesting guy to watch on Sunday. Riley Cooper.
Another guy with an interesting rapport is Chad Hall. The two worked together well in the preseason. They connected for a touchdown. Chad Hall led the team in the preseason with 11 receptions. I believe 8 of them came with Vince Young at quarterback.
Nice.
So certainly
under you're
the radar.
There you go.
Yeah, just a little bit.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines now. We have Brandon from Las Vegas. Brandon, what's going on?
What are the odds? That's what I want to know. What are some of the things that fans can bet on this weekend?
Man, hopefully
see that the Eagles win.
Hopefully so. Hopefully so.
Right there, man. I just wanted to thanks, man. It's my first time ever calling in. Thank you for taking my call.
No, Brian, we appreciate it. Thank you very much for chiming in.
Hey, have you guys done the trivia question yet?
You know, we don't have a trivia question lined up so far. We could do one for a little swag.
Yeah, we've always got something.
I was on Twitter earlier, and I could have sworn I saw one. It was about Sacks and Eli.
There was one through our Ad Eagles account. I think it was for a Fan Friday contest.
Okay.
And I don't know if that prize has been awarded yet. So, unfortunately, sorry, that's not us, Brandon.
Brandon, we got to get
him on the spot.
Let's see if I can put him on the spot
for
something.
We'll put him on the spot a little bit. Well, first, Brandon, what's your take on the Eagles, your thoughts on the game coming up on Sunday night as Bo tries to dig up a question here for you?
Honestly, I just really want to see what Vince Young can do. I mean, we picked him up for a reason. And now everyone's out to get him because he threw that one pick. But honestly, I just really want to see what he can do. Now, if Dick's not going to play, then he's not going to play. But Jackson's here this game. We have all the other weapons. And I really honestly think that Vince Young, if he really just focuses, he could do it. You know, he just needs the support. I mean, I really like to see if our team could just rally together for once. Just be excited when we make a good play. You know, everybody just be happy for one another and play as a unit. You know, that one heartbeat feel. You know, like when I was watching the game last night, the Tebow game, like you could just see on the sidelines, like that they were a team. You know what I mean? Like they were together. They were happy for one another. Like when you see our team, everyone's just walking around, people sitting on the bench looking frustrated. Like, there's no one ever, like, rallying no one. You know, hopefully that's what I want to see tomorrow against the Giants.
Brandon, that's an outstanding analysis on your part, because maybe when Michael Vick's in there, because he's the superstar, can make all the exciting plays, it's kind of like, all right, Michael will eventually make the big play and turn this thing around. Eventually,
exactly.
Michael's going to – he'll make the big throw. He'll get that eye-popping run. He'll do something to turn this game around. And, you know, he'll get us the win, and you look at the miracle, and he basically carried the team on his back until the DeSean Jackson punt return for the win. Maybe with Vince Young in there, all the other guys say Chad Hall is saying, I gotta make a play. McCoy's like, just give me the ball, I'll make it happen. The line's gonna be like, we'll block for Vince so nothing happens to him. Maybe something like that might inspire the team. That's something that'll be interesting to watch come Sunday night.
It sure will. And the crazy thing is like, we have enough talent where Vince doesn't have to do it. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't even have to be the one to win the game. He, just like how they like to make fun of Alex Smith and be a game manager for one night. You know, just manage it. Make sure we do not do anything, you know, too crucial to dig a 14, you know, nothing hole in the first quarter.
Exactly.
Don't do nothing to where we're just, you know, killing ourselves, you know, because he's done it before. Vince has won. It's not like this is some average guy like, oh, let's just throw him out there. He's done it. You know what I mean? So that's what I really want to see. I just want to see us just come together is just one time, you know, just so I can know that it's possible. You know,
fair enough.
Not just looking at a bad dream.
All right, Brandon, I'm gonna put you on the spot. I got a makeshift trivia question for you, for Eagle swag to be determined. All right, you have two options here, and this is a one time only. So people don't call in answering this question. You can either name the oldest or youngest player on the Eagles roster. You can go for either one.
Damn, the oldest or the youngest player. Okay, the oldest.
I would say that you probably have a better chance at oldest.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with, because everyone's young on our team. So, oldest, I'm going to have to say, let me think real quick, the whole roster.
Don't look at the roster. Come on.
I'm thinking in my head. Like, I'm just going to go through my whole head just thinking, like, who is it? Cause is it an off? Is it...
we gotta start counting down on you,
yep.
Brandon. You know,
is
five.
It
is not Todd Harriman's. Solid guess. He's up there. He's 29.
Brandon,
C-Mac, you know the answer?
What's that?
You know the answer?
I'm going to go John Dornbos.
Close. Jaquay Parker.
That was my second pick right there. That was my second one.
Yeah, Jaquay Parker is the answer.
Jaquay Parker or John Dornbos. That's what I was factoring.
I would like to see more from him tomorrow on Sunday as well.
That's a fair point. Do you have a prediction for the game on Sunday, Brandon?
You know, I don't do predictions. I just don't do predictions. But I do want to, since this is my first time on.
Oh, we appreciate it. Okay.
Let me do 36. We're going to go high. 36-21.
Nice.
Blow.
I would love that result. Yeah, Brandon, thank you very much for the phone call. Don't be a stranger. Check in down the line, okay?
Appreciate it for you guys taking my call. Thank you very much.
Not a problem at all. We're going to take a quick commercial break. On the other side, Paul Schwartz from the New York Post is going to join us to take us behind enemy lines. Hey, some key injuries on the Giants side. What's happening on that aspect? And are they still preparing for Michael Vick? We'll find out in a little bit right here on Eagles Live.
Hey, Eagles fans, I'm Randall Cunningham, and you're watching Eagles Live.
You can say that I like things fast, not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
We wanted to show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Hi everyone, I'm Eagles cheerleader Kat, and I'm here to talk about my favorite high school sports moment. My favorite moment was actually my senior year of high school, and it was at a football game. We were all cheering, and our team was actually down by 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and everyone was very discouraged. It was pretty upsetting, and all of a sudden it just started to pour rain. And you would think that we would all be more upset and more distraught about it, but it actually pumped everybody up, and we ended up winning by 2 points. And it just goes to show that it doesn't have to be a large game, it doesn't even have to be about winning, but the smallest thing can really pump up your team. And it, every time I think about it, it reminds me of how important school spirit is. I encourage you to go onto philadelphiaeagles.com/rally and talk about your favorite high school sports moment. You could win an Eagles-themed pep rally for your high school with appearances from Swoop, Eagles alumni, and of course the Eagles cheerleaders.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, how'd I do? You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're pleased to be joined inside the studio by Paul Schwartz from the New York Post, who does a phenomenal job of covering the New York football Giants. We're going to go behind enemy lines and see what's up with the Giants football team, who is 6-3 entering this contest Sunday night with the Eagles. And Paul, first and foremost, it looks like Michael Vick is not going to be able to play this Sunday. Are the Giants still preparing for him, or are they finally getting the idea that Vince Young will be the guy Sunday night?
Well, once the, you know, I think the Giants looked at it two ways. You know, don't forget, before the first game they played this year, there was always talk about Michael Vick possibly not playing with a concussion. The Giants said, we don't believe it. We think he'll play, and he did play. So there's always a little bit of that, you know, we think they're trying to pull something though from our friends down the turnpike there. But look, I mean, it's obvious that he's not going to play. You know, word's getting stronger and stronger that he's been ruled out. And the one thing the Giants said is that, you know, preparing for Vince Young and preparing for Michael Vick are not totally dissimilar, obviously. They're both guys who are great athletes who want to run, who probably pose maybe more of a threat running than passing. Certainly that's the case with Vick, with Young, not so much with Vick. So it's not like, you know, Kafka, who's not an experienced quarterback in any regard, but he's much more of a traditional quarterback, and the Giants would have to change up their approach. Young, I think his approach is similar, except they don't feel he throws the ball down the field nearly as well as Vic does.
Paul, on the Giants side of things, injury-wise, seems like Ahmad Bradshaw is probably not going to play. We sort of know the guys who fill in there. But if Michael Boley and William Beatty can't play, and first of all, what are their chances of playing? And then if not, who are the guys who would fill in for them?
Well, Boley's not going to play. You know, he's all but been ruled out, and that's just a formality. You know, he hurt his hamstring last week, and hamstrings don't take a week. So he did not expect to play this week and hasn't practiced. So he's out. And I think there's no easy answer for that on who. They don't just slot one guy in there. I think they're going to do a bunch of things, the Giants. Greg Jones, the rookie middle linebacker who has had his ups and downs, will get more time, certainly. I think Jaquan Williams, the rookie, another rookie linebacker. The Giants have four rookie linebackers on their team. So, you know, after the frontline guys, it's all inexperienced guys. Jaquan Williams played quite well, probably his best game against the Eagles the first time they played, because he's got very, very good speed. I think he'll get some time. And Mathias Kiwanuka is going to have to play much more of a traditional linebacker role. He's a little bit of a hybrid right now, plays defensive end linebacker. They may have to use him more as a strictly a linebacker, stopping LeSean McCoy type role. And also Deion Grant, the safety, who will play in the box a lot, I'm sure, against the Eagles running game. I think Beattie will be okay. He was held out as precaution. It'll be interesting to see what happens today with him as far as, you know, getting on the field. But if he cannot go, then someone who the Eagles are certainly familiar with, Stacey Andrews, would be the starting left tackle, which is not something the Giants want to see right now.
Paul, tough loss last week for the Giants in San Francisco. What is their mindset going into this game with the Eagles, knowing the Eagles have to have this game, going into it with a 3-6 record?
You know, believe me, me and many of my media brethren tried hard to get the, you know, let's bury the Eagles bandwagon going and get them to kind of talk some trash about, you know, we can finally put the Eagles down and wouldn't this be great revenge for last year's miracle or meltdown in the Meadowlands, depending on whether you wear blue and green, what you call that game last year. But, you know, the Giants didn't really bite on it. And I think some of that is accurate. I think the Giants are more concerned. You know, if the Giants were 3-6 also, then it's a case of let's take each other out here. But the Giants are in first place. They've been in first place for a while now. And, excuse me, they you know, that's their goal, is to stay in first place. And, you know, the Eagles are just another team they want to kind of grind out and beat. But, you know, there's no question the Giants would love to bury the Eagles, especially because the Eagles certainly buried the Giants last year when DeSean Jackson took that one to the house.
Paul, there was a lot of talk about this really difficult stretch in the Giants' schedule. Obviously, they were very impressive getting a win at New England, put up a good performance at San Francisco. What's your sense of how they're going to come through this difficult stretch here?
Well, you know, the difficult stretch started, as you said, with a tremendous victory in New England. And that kind of, wouldn't say it took the pressure off, but, you know, you don't say, wow, are they going to win a game here? Because they already won one that maybe was almost a little bit of a quote-unquote bonus. Last week was a good, tough, hard-fought game. Giants shouldn't have won, but certainly could have won. You know, I'm not going to say, you know, sometimes you look at games and you say you dominated, you should have won, but you did a couple of things. That was a game either team could have won. It looked like two good, you know, playoff-type teams playing. You know, this is a game that, you know, needless to say, the Giants have to win. It's against a team that is struggling, a team that's hurt. It's without their starting quarterback. It's a Giants home game. You know, after that, good luck. You go to at New Orleans, and then you play the Packers. You know, New Orleans is going to pose tremendous problems, you know, defensively for the Giants, of course, with Drew Brees. And, you know, I guess the Packers are not going to go 16-0 this year, but they might. You know, they're the best team in football, and if someone's going to beat them, I would imagine a lot of the rhetoric in the league, if the Packers win this week, will be, you know, can the Giants at home knock off the Packers? Because that'll be one of the more difficult games. Last year, after the terrible loss the Giants had to the Eagles, they went into Green Bay and just got absolutely annihilated. And I'm sure that will be first and foremost on the Giants' minds also. You know, that was almost the starting point for Aaron Rodgers' incredible, you know, ride through the whole postseason.
Looking back on it, I think Eagles fans wish that the Giants had won that game
and
kind of changed the playoff seedings around just a little bit there. Paul Schwartz from the New York Post, thank you very much for taking us behind enemy lines here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee? Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
empty backfield as Vic takes the snap. He's looking. He's being chased. He gets out of the way. He runs. He pumps. He fires. Touchdown!
I'm Michael Vick, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you need it. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Film Room. I'm Adam Kaplan. Alongside me, as always, from NFL Films, the senior producer, the guy that we call the professor of the coaching tape, Greg Cosell. And Greg, this week, the New York Giants are going to play the Eagles again, and Eli Manning is playing so well. Not a lot of people are talking about him. His numbers are really good. Greg, you've seen his tape. You've studied him since he's a rookie. How's he look so far?
I think, Adam, he's playing exceptionally well. We've always talked about how much is put on his plate. He controls the run game at the line of scrimmage. He controls protections, and he's been doing that since he started early in his career. So mentally, he's very, very good. But one thing that stands out is how efficiently he is playing. And you notice that when you watch play after play after play. It's not just one play right. That tells you that. It's an entire body of work. And I want to go back to the win against the New England Patriots a couple of weeks ago when he led that fourth quarter drive. And I want to show you a throw that is a big-time NFL throw. And you see Eli, he's in the shotgun. Now, this is Ballard, the tight end, who is really the size of an offensive tackle. But he's become somewhat a part of this pass game. And this is Tracy White, a former Eagle, who is now playing in the nickel for the New England Patriots. Now, Ballard will run down the seam. And look at this throw. Now, he has White running underneath. And by the way, this is not bad coverage. Tracy White's doing the right thing because he has help over the top. This would be what we call two-man coverage. Two deep safeties, man-to-man. When you play this coverage, the man-to-man defender can actually get underneath the receiver because he knows he has help. Mm-hmm. But now look at this throw. That's pretty good.
Between two defenders.
That is pretty good. And keep in mind, there was about a minute to go in this game, and the Giants were trailing. Eli makes a big-time throw in a critical situation. Now, here's a play last week against the 49ers. This is Mario Manningham. He's matched against a really unknown and very good third corner, Chris Culliver. Watch this throw. You get to anticipation. Boom, the ball's already out. Look where Manningham is. He's actually thrown it already, so he actually threw it when Manningham was probably at about the 7-yard line. And then look where Manningham catches it. He catches it 9 yards. So he threw the ball, and Manningham ran 9 and 7, if my math is correct, and I don't need a calculator. 16 yards Manningham ran from the time Eli pulled the trigger until he caught the ball. That is tremendous anticipation and accuracy. That was not a big window, but this is the kind of throw you must make in the red zone. Look, I don't think Eli is as good as his brother. I don't think he's Drew Brees or Tom Brady, but I think he's asked to do a lot of those same things, and people lose sight of that. Now, this is the final Eli Manning throw that I want to show you. And just look at the formation. You have three receivers to one side, trips. You have Hakeem Nicks, the X, the weak side receiver, what we like to say, X ISO on the backside of trips. This is where you'll see Hakeem Nicks when they go trips. This is a blitz, by the way, for the 49ers. Now, they blitz from too far away. This safety blitzes, he's not going to get there. He knows what he has immediately because He's the only safety in the middle of the field, and he's coming from the other side. So he knows that this safety cannot get in the way of this throw to Hakeem Nicks. But he sees that Nicks gets an inside release, not an outside release. And let me explain why that's important. That means Nicks then has to widen his stem back outside, because you want to create as much distance as you can from yourself, the receiver, and this deep safety. So he now knows that the throw has to take Nicks back to the outside. And watch this, Adam. Watch where the throw is. Look how it takes. Oh. See how it took him to the outside?
Right. That's a great point. Right.
That's about right. As good a throw on a fade ball that you can make. I mean, look where that ball was. It took him right to the out. You see, it was the outside shoulder. You can't throw any better than that. Now, we've just seen, by the way, three big-time NFL throws. These are not just okay throws. He's playing efficiently. He's making downfield throws. He's making red zone throws. He's willing to stick the ball into tight windows with accuracy. This is the best Eli Manning has played.
Well, on the next film room, Greg, we're going to take a look at Eli's weapons. Hakeem Nicks, Jake Ballard, an undrafted free agent. Victor Cruz, who is this guy? Another undrafted free agent. We'll do that next in the film room.
Great stuff, as always, from Adam and Greg there, and certainly trying to contain Manning with the secondary. That, again, I feel that they have gelled and are playing overall at a better level than they did back in that Week 3 matchup, when guys were still getting used to assignments, guys were still feeling their way around. Nnamdi was getting used to all the different roles that he had to play. You know, looks like Hoseley Hansen will be the nickel cornerback. I at least from the secondary standpoint, I'm more confident than in that Week 3 matchup going into this Sunday night's game.
Yes, but they still have left something to be desired. They can still take another step, at least, or a couple steps, you know, letting Larry Fitzgerald go one-on-one with Jaquan Jarrett. That was a mistake, obviously.
I don't think that it was designed that way.
Sure.
That's a problem.
Well, that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there are still some steps that they can take.
But I'm saying, my point on that is, I think one, designed it differently, and that the players didn't execute the way it was supposed to be.
Right.
And I'm just.
Of course.
Yeah. When you say, at least something to be designed, that's, I don't know if it was from a player coach standpoint, that's why I was
trying
to. Right.
But that's, you know, they got to step that up and understand what they're supposed to do. So, you know, they are getting better, and hopefully they take a big step here, because this is going to be a tough game for the pass defense. Eli's been on fire. Hakeem Nicks gives people fits. He's about as talented physically as any receiver in the league. And Victor Cruz has established himself. He's their leading receiver, and it all started against the Eagles in Week 3. So I do think that, you know, that was not a very good game for Nnamdi in Week 3.
No.
He'll obviously be looking to bounce back from that. And then a lot of pressure on the Eagles linebackers, but this Giants run game has not been very good at all.
No.
If you're an Eagles fan watching this game, you cheer every time they hand the ball off to Brandon Jacobs, because he's not getting it done right now. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think averaging just over 3 yards a carry this season. Bradshaw not likely to play. And the reports from the practice fields coming through via Twitter are that Michael Vick is not at practice once again. So every sign just indicating more and more that Vince Young will indeed get the start this Sunday against the New York Giants.
Yeah, and as you said, as you pointed out earlier, he has a good track record against the Giants. Yep. Only two games. But still, two wins, no interceptions, three touchdowns, added a running touchdown, I think 107 quarterback rating combined. So good job from Vince Young there, and hopefully there's some level of comfort going there. And obviously it does make a huge difference that he's practicing all week as the starter, taking the reps and working with guys that he's going to be throwing to, like Riley Cooper and DeSean Jackson. As we talked about, I think DeSean, we know that he loves playing on primetime. This could be a big game for him. If there's going to be a big game for him coming up, this is the one.
It has to be for him here, because, you know, he has to go out there to try to make a statement, to show that he is truly bothered by the fact that he missed the game last week when he certainly could have helped the Eagles win that game. I think Andy Reid made the right move. I don't question that aspect of it whatsoever, but certainly DeSean, you know, this is when we start talking about pride. This is when we start talking about, like, who wants to go out there and prove something out there on the field, and that's what DeSean needs to do this Sunday night. Now, something that, if I remember correctly from a couple years ago when Vince Young played the Giants as a member of the Titans, was it Mathias Kiwanuka who grasped him and held him for, like, 5 seconds? And then this is when the hits on quarterbacks were starting to come into play with the NFL, with the referees. and he was afraid to take him down to the turf. So Vince Young was able to kind of push him off, and then he threw the ball down the field for the touchdown. I think that was Kiwanuka against the Giants. I remember, you know, players were so upset on defense that they don't know what to do. They were like, well, I want to pull him to the ground, but am I going to get called for the penalty? And obviously it played a factor there. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there when these two teams tangle once again come Sunday night.
Absolutely. And, of course, we're taking your calls, 215-339-6709. But for now, let's take a quick commercial break, and then we'll ring up the fantasy man, Joe Dolan, on the other side, talk some fantasy ahead of your matchups this week, getting down to the wire, almost playoff time. We'll talk to Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com on the other side right here on Eagles Live.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
To show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Vic gives to McCoy. First down and more. 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. McCoy in for the touchdown! A 49-yard touchdown run by Shady McCoy.
Hi, I'm LaShawn McCoy, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee. Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee. Only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
It's time for our weekly fantasy spin segment here on Eagles Live, and we're bringing in Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com. And with the quarterback situation for the Eagles a little unsettled at this point, do you think, Joe, that Vince Young is a viable option for fantasy owners to pick up?
I absolutely do, Chris. And one of the things I always say, if a quarterback can run, that gives you added value. Look at what Tim Tebow did last night against the New York Jets. The guy went 9 for 20 passing. But he runs for about 70 yards and a 20-yard touchdown. That's going to give you about 16 to 17 fantasy points. So I would think the Eagles, if Vince Young has to start at quarterback, they're going to run the football. And they're going to run a lot of option-style plays, you know, a lot like Young did in Tennessee when he had Chris Johnson in the backfield. I think the combination of Vince Young and LeSean McCoy could be potentially problematic for a defense. And if you're dying for a quarterback, or if you're a Michael Vick owner, I think picking up Vince Young, absolutely a viable play. Chris, there's obviously Drew Brees is on a bye this week. So a lot of Drew Brees owners are so comfortable with Brees that they don't really even carry a backup quarterback. So it might be an option to pick up Vince Young off the waiver wire, see if he might be able to get you some rushing yards, maybe a rushing touchdown. This is why we told Michael Vick owners, if you're drafting Michael Vick high, you might want to use one of your last couple picks on Vince Young, because there's a chance that he's going to have to fill in for him at some point.
Joe, obviously if you have LeSean McCoy on your team, you're starting him every week. But with Jeremy Maclin unlikely to play on Sunday, how do you feel about Vince Young's receiving options?
I feel okay about the receiving options. Feeling okay about Vince Young throwing the football is a different thing. I would think that if you're desperate, you could go with DeSean Jackson. He can get the ball down the field. Vince Young does have a strong arm, at least. If you want some catches, Jason Avant might be able to move the chains. Maybe Steve Smith against the Giants. Who knows at this point? I probably would shy away from Steve Smith and Jason Avant. I might play DeSean Jackson if I need him, but remember, like we said earlier this week on Eagles Nightly, if you want to sit DeSean Jackson at this point, you have every reason to do that, because the guy hasn't had a big game in quite a while.
And then how about Brent Celek, Joe? Big part of the offense the last few weeks. He seems like he could be a good option at tight end this week.
Now, Celek's developing into a starting caliber tight end, and it kind of happened out of nowhere. They've been getting him the ball in the short area, and it's been huge because the tight end position has just been so shaky this year. And if Brent Celek has been your guy, I don't see why you wouldn't keep playing him at this point, because he is catching a lot of passes.
Now, looking at the Giants real quick, Brandon Jacobs, he had the big touchdown against the Eagles in the first matchup back in Week 3. But let's be honest, he's not really a serviceable running back anymore. What if fantasy owner might want to pick him up off the waiver wire because he's going against the Eagles this week?
And I think if you need a running back, like, for instance, harkening back onto the bye weeks, Arian Foster's on bye this week. Ben Tate's on bye. Darren Sproles is on bye. Mark Ingram, all the Saint running backs. The Steelers are on bye, so Rashard Mendenhall. If you are hurting for a bye or you've got an injury, I think Brandon Jacobs is certainly viable. You know, he actually looked okay against the 49ers last week, which is better than I was anticipating, because the 49ers have one of the best run defenses in football, and I don't think Brandon Jacobs is very good. But if you're desperate for just some touches, I think Brandon Jacobs is going to be able to give them to you. So, yeah, he is a viable play as a low-end number two or a flex type of guy.
Sticking in the division, Joe, DeMarco Murray's obviously been a pleasant surprise for fantasy owners. Do you think that he's a running back one for the rest of the season, even with Felix Jones getting healthy?
Yeah, I'd say low end. I mean, at this point, the guy's just produced. And as we've talked before, I have my doubts about him. But when a guy consistently puts up numbers like this, it's hard to ignore him. And although Felix is coming back, and I do think that is a concern, the Cowboys never were able to run this type of offense with Felix Jones at running back. So I think Felix is probably going to be a change of pace guy. I think DeMarco Murray, as Jerry Jones has said, is going to remain the starter. They're going to run still a lot of two-back formations with Murray and the fullback Tony Fiametta. We might see Felix work into some formations with Murray in the backfield. But if you've got DeMarco Murray, there's no reason to shy away from using him. I would expect, although his touches might go down by maybe 4 or 5 per game, I would still expect the Cowboys to use him as a heavily featured part of their offense.
Joe, a team I want to look at real quick is the San Francisco 49ers. Two quick questions here. One, is Alex Smith, who has been very good at not turning the ball over and getting more and more confident as he works in that offense, is he a viable quarterback option for fantasy owners? And at running back, Frank Gore says he's going to play this Sunday. There's a lot of people who have Kendall Hunter, and we're hoping to get him in the lineup this week. So what should fantasy owners do with Kendall Hunter and the Frank Gore conundrum there?
Well, first with Alex Smith, Chris, I think you kind of hit it on the head. If you have a really strong team and you need a fill-in for quarterback, for instance, teams that just lost Matt Schaub, I think Alex Smith is a viable option because he's not going to turn the ball over. Therefore, he's not going to get you negative points. And that's pretty strong at this point. And I think he is really trusting Jim Harbaugh. He trusts the system. He trusts what this team's doing. He's playing well. And one thing Alex Smith does is he recognizes pre-snap extremely well. He sees where his single coverage is going to be, and he's starting to exploit mismatches. And the one thing that I was really happy with Alex Smith last week, he utilized the tight end. Vernon Davis had a long touchdown. Delanie Walker, the backup tight end, actually led the team in receiving. He had 6 catches. I think it's going to be an interesting scenario moving forward because I still have my doubts about Alex Smith's long-term viability in the NFL. But right now, he's just not giving the ball to the defense, and that has some value for fantasy. And if you're talking about the running back position, Frank Gore, at this point, he killed you last week if you owned him, but he had 5 straight 100-yard games coming into that. I would be hard-pressed not to play him because remember against the Eagles that there was concern that Frank Gore wouldn't be able to play or he would be limited, and he still had a nice game. And Kendall Hunter, I like this guy a lot. He's short, but he's powerful. So he's small and powerful, kind of like almost like a Maurice Jones-Drew type of runner. And I would think if Frank Gore is limited, Jim Harbaugh is going to want to rotate Kendall Hunter in there consistently. If you're desperate for running back, I would try to get both of these guys into my lineup if I owned either one, unless I have some clearly better options that are available to me.
And then finally, Joe, looking at some waiver wire wide receivers. Tough week for wide receivers with the Saints and Steelers on bye and guys like Jeremy Maclin and A.J. Green questionable. Who are some of the guys you're looking at in terms of pickups, maybe a Denarius Moore or a deeper guy like Vincent Brown or David Nelson?
Well, the thing I like about Vincent Brown is that he's kind of – the Chargers have kind of responded to the guy, and Vincent Jackson has been almost absent some games. You know, he's had a couple huge games this year, and then he had a game like he had last week against the Raiders where he's not even trying to get a ball in the end zone, and you seriously wonder about a guy like that. Vincent Brown came out and provided Phillip Rivers with a reliable option. So if you're desperate for a receiver, he's an interesting guy. Denarius Moore, if he somehow is still out there, we talked about Denarius Moore before on the program earlier in the year when Jason Campbell took a liking to him. If Denarius Moore is somehow still available, you have got to pick him up. Carson Palmer loves throwing to this guy. Jacoby Ford is hurt. Denarius Moore has clearly moved past Darius Heyward Bey for reasons that are unknown to me. Obviously, there's something going on behind the scenes there. But Denarius Moore could theoretically be the Raiders' number one receiver moving forward. And Hugh Jackson wants to throw the football. And that's big. And then you mentioned David Nelson, and we'll just touch on him and another guy from the Bills. The Bills' passing offense, it's being exposed because they don't really have a whole lot of talent. And the offensive line is an absolute mess right now. But Ryan Fitzpatrick does look for David Nelson in the red zone. He's got a 6'5" frame. He gives them chances to score. So if you need a touchdown, if you need a shot at it, if you need a shot to get 5 or 6 catches, David Nelson's an interesting option. And you can also go with Donald Jones, the other starting receiver in Buffalo, outside of Stevie Johnson, because Donald Jones, he gets all of their downfield looks. The Buffalo Bills threw 5 passes for more than 15 yards last week. Donald Jones had 4 of those targets. So his role is very clear. And when a guy has a clear role, sometimes that makes you feel a little bit safer about plugging him into your fantasy lineup.
Joe Dolan, outstanding analysis as always. Thank you very much for joining us here inside the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. If you want more insight from Joe, make sure to go to FantasyGuru.com. Thanks, Joe, once again.
Thank you.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Show Eagles fans what it's like.
like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee. Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
Goes live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. The smell of Junk Food Friday is permeating the Xfinity studio because our producers went and got lunch during the commercial break, and it got the wings out there. They got the chili and rice. It's smelling good in here. I'm starving.
You want to go get some food while you want to take the show?
No, because we got Chris from New York who's joining us on the line right now. Chris, what's going on, man?
Hey, Ball. Hey, Chris. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
How you doing?
What's the vibe like in New York?
The vibe in New York is exactly what Schwartz said. The Giants have an opportunity to end the Eagles season, just like we ended theirs last year. So, you know, that's pretty much what they're looking at right now.
How tough is it this week being an Eagles fan in New York?
It's pretty tough because I do a lot of bets with my Giant fans. We basically bet, you know, obviously got two games for the year, and we bet on the finishing record for the season. So, okay. I'm getting taken to the cleaners. So I need
to win
this
week
to even me out.
So what's your level of optimism? I mean, more and more, you know, it's more and more likely it's going to be Vince Young getting the start on Sunday night. What's your take on that, and overall your other thoughts on the team heading into this Sunday night matchup?
I'm a big defense guy. I hate to say it. I saw it week three when they last played the Giants that I like Castillo as a person, but he's just overmatched. I mean, players aren't in the right position. You saw it with Fitzgerald, whether it's miscommunication. I mean, he's got to fix it. It all falls down on him, I guess. So
certainly there's going to be the accountability factor. I mean, it's tough at times because it seems like that the scheme is designed right and the players don't execute it. You know, so it's there's times where it's like, so is that the coach's fault? Is that the player's fault? What do you have there? You know, so certainly there's definitely a lot of frustration about the defense and the performance, because for three quarters, by and large, the defense looks fine. It's for whatever reason, you know, whether it's the play calling, whether it's the execution by the players, what have you. I mean, the team overall just falls flat in the fourth quarter of games this season.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely true. And I even had a question for you guys. I don't know if it's, you know, what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Vic's having a ball fear, whatever reason.
Of course.
I feel one of them could be he's pressing, because he realized the defense just is not holding people. And some of his interceptions could be, instead of him just saying, all right, let me get a field goal, or let me just let the defense play it, he's pressing, throwing into tight coverage, and he's forcing an interception in a roundabout way.
Are you asking if that's the reason for...
I don't know. I'm just seeing if you... That's kind of one of my opinions. I know there's more problems than that. But, I mean, I wonder if a lot of his interceptions, I know some are in the red zone, are they on third down? I don't know. I think that's just my opinion.
Chris, the red zone turnovers are by far the most baffling. The Eagles have 7 as a team overall, and it's by far the most in the NFL. I mean, that right there, I think, kind of sums up why this team is one of the big reasons why this team is 3-6 this season. Because even if you get a field goal in those situations, you know, they might get another game or two in the win column and be over 500 at this point in the season. I don't think it's the defense, per se. I think there's times where he's not comfortable with the offensive line, and I don't think it's that it's a bad offensive line or that they're underperforming, because I think the offensive line overall has gelled together under Mutt, has played well. I just think there's times where he's feeling the pressure and he feels like he needs to take off a little too soon. But certainly, yes, his numbers overall are different. Teams are now playing him and the offense different. And I don't know if it's just learning to adjust to what teams are giving you now. Basically, teams are no longer scared of the deep ball. We have not seen the deep ball from this offense pretty much for most of the season. And certainly not having DeSean Jackson last week is a big part of that. I'm wondering what the impact of not having Jerry Maclin is going to be
sure
this Sunday, because he's just as important to this offense as DeSean Jackson is. So I'm going to be intrigued to see what they do in terms of trying to throw down the field. I mean, it's very interesting that Vince Young went out of his way to praise Jason Avant yesterday. He was basically asked about, I think, McCoy and the weapons overall, Chris. And he said, well, you know, I've got Jason Avant, and I think he's, you know, one of the best slot receivers in the NFL, and just heaped this praise upon him that made you wonder, are we going to see a lot of these two work in the middle of the field together? And with Michael Boley, the middle linebacker, the key to the Giants' defense in that back seven, likely out this Sunday, I would not be surprised to see the Eagles try to exploit that.
Yeah, so it makes sense. I hope they do. I hope they do. Well.
Chris, you want a pop trivia question for some Eagle swag?
Ooh.
Sure, why not? Got nothing to lose.
Hey, you know all what, right. Chris? If you get this, you can flip it on eBay and maybe make some of that money back for the bets making this season.
All right, there are two schools, two colleges, that are represented by three players on the Eagles' active roster. I need you to give me both schools.
Ooh.
Two schools that three players. So six players went to two schools.
Yes.
That is the same.
Now we're talking active roster.
Active roster.
53.
These are the most represented. The two.
All right. I'm one short of it.
Okay.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's just two, just the two running backs, unfortunately.
Damn it.
Good effort, though.
Chris, at least...
Although, that would have been an answer to the previous question. Deion Lewis is the youngest player on the Eagles roster.
Oh, he is the one. We didn't get that one before, so...
What did I miss?
The answers are Cincinnati. You have Trent Cole, Jason Kelsey, and Brent Celek.
Okay.
And then USC. Winston Justice, USC. Mike Patterson, yeah. And Steve Smith.
I would have thought Ohio State, too, because they also have two also.
Just the two, yes. Oh, good effort, Chris.
Do you have a prediction, Chris?
I actually gave one Thursday. I had the Eagles 52 and the Giants 46. So,
do you want to alter it all, or you know, you'll stick with that one there?
Stick with it.
Be a man, Chris, and go with it.
I only predict once.
All right,
this will be okay. It.
All right, thanks for the phone call.
That was a good trivia question on the spot there. I was actually Virginia Tech with Tapp and Vic. I was trying to think if there was a third person in there. You know, years ago it was Georgia. We had Reggie
lot.
Brown and Max Gene Gillis.
Sean Jones.
So I remember Georgia used to be very very prominent among the teams. So
now the tiebreaker for USC.
Do we have any Florida State guys on the roster?
Not anymore.
No, they're all gone. Yeah. Scrubs.
The tiebreaker goes to USC because they have two guys on the practice squad.
Very good.
Stanley Havili and Rojo.
And Rojo Ronald Johnson.
One of the things
No scrubs, I would say Broderick Bunkley actually played well for the
Yeah, and so did Joe Mays.
So.
One of the things that we haven't seen very much recently, in the last two games at least, is that vaunted Eagles pass rush. No sacks against the Bears. Two sacks last week, Derek Landry and Trent Cole.
Yep.
But still not consistent pressure that we're looking for, and obviously that's going to be a big factor this week in terms of getting to Eli Manning. And one guy who's been hot early but hasn't had any sacks in the past couple weeks is Jason Babin. We talked to him in the locker room yesterday to find out how he's feeling ahead of what is a bitter rivalry game.
Do you or someone need to be a little more, just like remind guys what's that say? Early, be more vocal, more pumps, and that there's no easing off of the lever there?
I don't think there's an easing off of the lever. I think, you know, unfortunately, they've teams we played just made some plays, and, you know, we hadn't been able to stop them.
But you guys have had a bunch of them, and that's really where you guys identify where you've lost games is the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think you could say it was definitely the fourth quarter where we lost them, but there's plenty of other plays throughout the game that, you know, didn't help our cause any.
Right. Have you sensed from watching film why it is that the fourth quarter was, but you guys haven't had a sack in the fourth quarter on a third down in a couple games?
A fourth down, yeah.
On fourth down, yeah. Yeah. And second down, too, but not third,
yeah.
Where you find most of your situation.
Yeah. Well, you know what, if I knew the answer, the magic formula, I would definitely let everyone know. Bottom line is, we just got to make plays. I mean, we got guys in the right position, guys that can make it, and we just got to do it.
Have you sensed at all that there was complacency or that you guys thought you had a game in the bag a few times?
No, I don't think so at all. You know, I think watching this practice yesterday and today, I think people practice great today. You know, guys that are little, you know, had been asked to step up and, you know, fill in and, you know, some injuries, practice great. So I know everyone's real excited about this game.
It doesn't seem like Bradshaw's going to make it, which means a lot of Jacobs. Is there a huge difference when you know they're going to be a little bit more, not multidimensional with those two guys, and you know it's going to be Jacobs?
They run differently, first of all. So, you know, the keys that we have on each one, obviously, are going to stay the same. Whether if one's there, one's not there, then, you know, we're still the keys on them and how they approach, you know, their certain style is the same.
I mean, I think when he carries Jacobs at his 20 or more carries, their numbers, they're, you know, 11-1 or something. Is he just a guy that just, when he gets a lot of carries, he really imposes, really, it kind of wears you down a lot?
I'm not a big stat guy. You know, people pull these stats out when he carries the ball 20 times, this, you know, but, you know, it's football. I mean, you can crunch numbers and say this and say that, I think. But bottom line is we just got to make plays on both sides of the ball, offense, defense, and special teams. And I think, you know, looking at special teams last week, I think they played pretty darn good. They made some serious plays. So, you know, we got some things to build on.
You never had that sense that there was at all a sinking feeling when you guys have blown some leads there, or like here we go again, or even encourage guys not to let that.
No, there's no here we go again feeling. You know, we're out there. You know, want to make plays. Everyone's hungry. You know, no one's giving up. None of that's going on. And you know, I think after, you know, that this last loss, you know, people are no one's throwing a towel. I mean, you guys were out there practice. It's great. It was a great practice.
Is it fair that one's from?
Well, anytime you're 3-6, I mean, everyone feels the heat. I mean, shoot, I feel the heat. You know, everyone's like, oh, you just got here. I'm like, man, I'm playing like my life depends on it. You know, I'm practicing like life depends on it because, you know, that's what we got to do. We got to win some games and make some plays. You can definitely tell that, you know, he feels good. He's in a good rhythm. You know, he's got his guys he's like to throw to. So, you know, we got to disrupt that. That's secondary on all the way up to the D-line. Yep.
Empty backfield as Vic takes the snap. He's looking. He's being chased. He gets out of the way. He runs. He pumps. He fires. Touchdown!
I'm Michael Vick, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
At the end of the day, you can't fool people. Nothing sells like the truth. From our fresh pack sauce, to our fresh veggies, to our 100% fresh dough, never frozen, at Papa John's, we believe fresh is better. Nobody does what Papa John's does.
Carry out a large one-topping pizza for only $7.99. That's a large Papa John's pizza with your choice of one topping for only $7.99. Carry out only.
Everything's better when Papa's in the house. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
Forty years, 14,610 days, 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution, all for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series, prime, perform, recover.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, how'd I do? You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
We'll be right back.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're going to have Jimmy Kempski from Blogging the Beast and Bleeding Green Nation on in about 10 minutes or so. We also have Andy Reid's press conference at about 1 o'clock. We will broadcast that live, and we will also be going live into the locker room, where I wonder if Michael Vick will even speak. He did say that he would yesterday after practice, and I wonder if Andy Reid will make any definitive decisions regarding the quarterback position, or will it be simply Vick is questionable and leave it at that?
Yeah, I think maybe he'll be listed as doubtful. And then, you know, probably the same. I think Macklin will be out.
Roger Cromartie.
Dunlap will be out. Roger Cromartie will be out. And I think maybe they'll leave the door open just a little bit for Michael Vick in case he miraculously heals. Those ribs get real sticky over
ribs.
The next 2 days.
Exactly.
But other than that, not much else to glean from Andy Reid. I guess I want to hear about Evan Mathis. Is he definitely a go? I want to hear about maybe the reasoning for Keenan Clayton going in there. I guess that's... Oh, and actually, Andy Reid never talked about the Chad Hall bringing up, because it was announced after his press conference on Wednesday, so maybe he'll give a little insight into that move. But other than that,
will Chad Hall
Friday press conference.
Will Chad Hall be up?
I think so.
Is that certainly?
I think so.
And then the question
becomes... Why else activate him if he wasn't going to be up this week?
Because you probably knew Macklin wouldn't play.
Yeah.
And then, is he in the return mix?
I think he is. You know, DeSean Jackson gets spelled every now and then on punt returns, so Chad Hall's a safe guy there. And then on kickoff returns, Deion Lewis has been okay, but maybe Chad Hall gets a look there.
Roger Cromartie brought a spark.
He did.
His return. That's actually the sad part about the injury. Deion Lewis actually had a pretty good one
after that. He got it to around the 40 or so. But Chad Hall is a guy who actually does have, as you mentioned before, pretty good chemistry with Vince Young. And I think he's a guy who... You know, not to beat up on the guys who played last week, but if you throw him the ball and he's able to catch it, I feel pretty confident that he's going to hold on to the ball.
Yeah, I just think last week with Riley Cooper, with Steve Smith, these guys just had not gotten a lot of snaps in live game action. And guys talk about, and I know Riley Cooper was very emphatic about how he prepares every week like he's a starter. There's a difference, though. When you know you're going to be the guy, and especially when you find out I don't know when the team found out about the DeSean Jackson deactivation, but basically you're finding out either the night before or the day of that you're going to be in the mix. It's just a different mindset going into it, where all of a sudden you're like, wait, did I prepare enough all week? Oh, should I have done this more? Should I have watched more film? I just think there's a different mindset there. And also it's different when your practice reps are great, but when you have 68,000 fans at Lincoln Financial Field, when you have, you know, the live game action, you have the team coming at you full bore. There's a difference there between the practice reps. And I know the guys practice hard and they have a good fast tempo in practice, but there's still a difference between that and the live game action. And these guys just have not gotten a lot of snaps this season. So hopefully getting that experience last week will help carry over. And then having the full week to work with Vince Young, hopefully that will, you know, provide some chemistry, create some chemistry to allow them to play well on Sunday night.
Mike from Bay Area is on the line. Mike, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, man?
What's up, Mike?
All right.
I'm doing pretty good. Actually, I've been trying to call in for a couple of weeks. So I know you guys have kind of moved on to the game, and I don't want to take us back in a negative
direction. That's fine. Don't bring up
bad memories. Right.
No, I just wanted to talk a little bit about kind of what I thought was going on with the team.
Okay.
In terms of, I know everybody kind of gets hot and cold. If we lose, then everybody's mad and hates Andy Reid and wants him fired. If we win, then everybody says, you know, we're going to win out for the rest of the season. I just kind of wanted to talk. Really, I hadn't heard anybody mention about some issues that we've had for years and I think are kind of plaguing the team right now. And that really I'm talking to, we kind of let a lot of our veteran players go, and we always have. And I just feel like that's kind of really affecting us now, where I think Dave talked about it a lot, where he doesn't see the leadership on the team, and I feel like that's part of the problem too, is, you know, who are really the leaders right now when the Eagles aren't playing well? I mean, even if the scheme is right, when Jim Johnson's scheme was perfect, you had Dawkins yelling at guys, you know, he's holding up the fourth quarter, going into the fourth. Everybody was being held accountable by the players on the field. I mean, who can do that now? And I feel like part of that, I definitely want your guys' opinion, is, you know, one, people like Jackson, who always tries to, you know, lead the team. He's always trying to lead a huddle. You know, but, you know, we haven't extended his contract. You know, you get players like Asante Samuel, who wanted to lead. He's been trying to lead, but, you know, we've got him in a situation where he may get traded. You know, so he can't really, you know, if I'm one of the players on the team, why would I listen to him? He may get traded in a week. You know,
that's a fair point.
Part of the thing that goes into that is that there are a lot of veterans on this team, but a lot of them were brought in the offseason, so it took them some time to get comfortable being themselves. A guy like Cullen Jenkins, who's, I think, emerged as a leader, but maybe wasn't quite so much that early in the season as he was adjusting. You know, a guy like Jamar Chaney, who the defense is pointed to really taking over that huddle. He's done a good job. And on offense, you know, I think Michael Vick is your guy, and I think the team does rally around Michael Vick. But you know, I'm not willing to say that the reason that this team is 3-6 is because of a lack of leadership. I think they have some leaders. I just think that, you know, the things that you can point to, the reason that they're 3-6, turnovers in the red zone, 7, the most in the league.
Turnovers, period. Overall.
And then, I mean, what else can you say about the fourth quarter? 5 blown leads in the fourth quarter. They've been outscored, whatever it is, 70-something to 20-something on the season. Only 3 points in those 5 games in which they blew fourth quarter leads. You know, maybe you can say that some of that has to do with leadership. I just think it's you know, they just don't have it.
I do think it's a fair point to say, you know, if DeSean Jackson is one of the leaders on this team, he can't be missing meetings.
Sure.
And getting himself deactivated for games. I know people in the chat the other day were kind of like, well, what if Michael Vick missed a meeting? Well, Michael Vick wouldn't miss a meeting.
But that's the other thing. Who's to say that DeSean Jackson is a leader on the team? You know?
I've gotten that sense since he was a rookie that he's a guy that players have flocked towards, a guy that his playmaking ability does get the guys fired up. I mean, there were times where I noticed that from his rookie season on, and I know he's trying to carry that leadership mantle. I know Michael Vick and Kevin Cobb, when he was here, talked about him taking over leader. But as a leader, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And then with Asante, I do agree to some sense where more not so much about whether he could be traded or not, but just the course of action that he took with his comments, directing them at the front office. A leader shouldn't be doing that as well. That's something that you want to voice your opinion on. Do that in-house. You don't have to air out your dirty laundry. And when a team is 3-6, obviously these kinds of issues are going to come up to the surface. I agree with Bo in the sense that I just feel like when there's really a no clear-cut explanation for a team losing, like the way that the Eagles are,
of course,
you try to point to things that just aren't concrete. You know, I think the Eagles have done a good job of realizing when it was time for veteran guys to go. Brian Dawkins is the guy that.
Well, that's the thing. Tell me one guy who's gone on and made an impact somewhere else, an older veteran. I mean,
I think that's a fair point. I think that as a whole, they've been really good. You know, Troy Vincent and all those guys. You know, when they let them go, they were definitely at the tail end of being in their prime. But I mean, I think that there's something to be said about having, you know, strong vocal leaders in the house. So you guys mentioned a couple of names, Mike Vick. And, I mean, Vick is a great player, but if you remember watching him, like, in Atlanta, he would sit on the bench by himself throughout games, particularly in the fourth quarter.
Just sure, and I think that's what they pointed to as one of the bigger differences.
Same thing with, like, Nnamdi, great player. And don't get me wrong, these guys are leaders of sorts. But then you have leaders like, you know, more quiet leaders, and the leader, unfortunately, like, the team is filled with a lot of great quiet leaders. But then you have leaders like Brian Dawkins, who, I mean, motivated you while you were sitting on your couch that the Eagles were going to play some great football. And so most of the great teams have, or most of the Super Bowl winning teams have, more of, like, the vocal leaders. And so I guess the point that I was trying to raise is just more so that it seems like I agree definitely with Bo that they do a great job of evaluating players. And it actually goes to the point that I think it was Brian Dawkins' agent made when they let Brian Dawkins go. And he talked about the team having a concept that there are interchangeable parts, that the Eagles seem to think that these players are interchangeable parts. And so the team has always had tremendous success because they're right mathematically in a lot of their formulas. But I think leadership is one of those intangibles that you really can't necessarily measure. So when you don't have somebody, and I mean, I think Dave, if you had a conversation with Dave, the way he talks a lot, he would agree with it. When you talk about, you know, losing all these fourth quarter leads, you kind of can't really not speak to the fact that there's a lack of leadership. You know, and when you look at any great Super Bowl team, you look at, you know, Michael Jordan, players would say they feared Michael Jordan more than they feared Phil Jackson. You know, it was that internal – you don't want to mess up because your great players are going to really, really hold you accountable. And not being all those guys are great. Jamar Chaney, I wrote them all down. Trent Cole, they're all great players. But, I mean, you guys know them better than we do, but it doesn't look like they're the kind of guy that's going to really yell at somebody, you know, if they get out of line. Now, Brian Dawkins was really more so that guy who was going to actually hold you accountable. You know, if you didn't do something in the fourth quarter, he was going to yell at you about it. And so, I mean, I don't disagree with you. The turnovers are real. You know, we got problems. You know, defensively, stuff isn't, you know, all the way all together, and I agree with you in that. But I just feel like, as a whole, we would have done better holding on to Brian Dawkins, even the way he's playing now. Even though, I mean, I think, you know, the players that we drafted are going to be great players, you know, but there's something that we're missing from, you know, I've been here before teaching the young players, coaching them, you know, and leading on the field that we just don't have as a team. Teams are talking about us being soft, you know. Teams are talking about us quitting, you know. Frank Gore said they didn't fight back. When we started rallying, they just didn't rally back with us, you know.
Mike, I think that – oh, go ahead.
No, I mean, I'm being long-winded. I'm sorry. I appreciate your guys' time. So
I do think that the evaluation of whether or not these guys are past their prime factors into whether or not they're going to be a leader because, you know, is Brian Dawkins still going to be leading the defense if he's sitting on the bench?
I think he's leading Denver, though. You gotta be honest. When he went to Denver, they came out 6-0 off the gate, and everybody said it was because of Brian Dawkins.
And then they lost, like, 8 games in a row.
They did, but was that Brian Dawkins or was that because they really didn't? I mean, his motivation is what took him to 6-0.
I'm not going to go that far.
I think it's a little overrated.
You have a prediction?
You have a prediction, Mike?
We do got to get going to Jimmy Kempski.
Sorry. I mean, I'll take the Eagles every time. So hopefully offense 31-24.
31-24. Mike, great call. Thank you very much. It's an honest debate to topic. Topic to debate as I get my words.
Sure,
up
you know.
There. But, again, you are right because I remember when Jeff Garcia was here and everyone talked about the leadership qualities. When Jeff Garcia is sitting on the bench,
of course,
is he being a leader? No. Would Brian Dawkins be starting here if he was? I don't know. The Eagles felt like maybe he could have started on this team for another year, but they need to move on. If you want to say the Eagles didn't adequately replace him from a talent standpoint initially, Macho Harris, Quentin Dempsey, I would agree with that. And Dawkins played one very good year. He's not the player that he was. Totally different player that the way he's being utilized in Denver than he was in Philadelphia. You know, I think Kirk Coleman is a guy who could be a leader. I think Nate Allen has that, you know, that quiet leadership style. But maybe this team, at the end of the day, whether it's the talent, whether it's the coaching, what have you, I don't quite know. It's just not good enough. And that's why they're 3-6. I think leadership and all that stuff, it comes up at times like this when teams are losing, you know. All that rah-rah stuff's great. It looks great on camera, but does it always deliver wins? No.
No. Josh McDaniels is no longer coaching. So,
anyway.
All right. Let's take a quick commercial break. We got Jimmy Kempski on the other side of this break on Eagles Live. Going to talk a little bit about the NFC East right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico.
We wanted to show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
Vic gives to McCoy. First down and more. 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. McCoy in for the touchdown! A 49-yard touchdown run by Shady McCoy.
Hi, I'm LaShawn McCoy, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to eibandme.com to learn more and get back to being active.
At the end of the day, you can't fool people. Nothing sells like the truth. From our fresh pack sauce, to our fresh veggies, to our 100% fresh dough, never frozen, at Papa John's, we believe fresh is better. Nobody does what Papa John's does.
Carry out a large one-topping pizza for only $7.99. That's a large Papa John's pizza with your choice of one topping for only $7.99. Carry out only.
Everything's better when Papa's in the house. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
All right, welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're pleased to be welcomed inside the studio by Jimmy Kempsky, who writes for Blogging the Beast, as well as Bleeding Green Nation. He's been a guest on the show before. And the big matchup we want to get into for this Sunday night matchup is Jason Peters going against Trent Cole.
As always.
Always a big matchup per ESPN Insider.
Of course, of course. There's a big joke that Scouts Inc. that provides a service for ESPN, they wrote that as one of the key matchups to watch in the game earlier this season.
Yeah,
yeah, that was Eagles Falcons, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know
right.
which. I don't know if Jason Peters or Trent Cole was the Falcon, but that was the big matchup that weekend.
Jimmy, let's start looking at the New York Giants here. Obviously, they're leading the NFC East at this point with a 6-3 record. Eli Manning is carrying that team. There's some people who think that, you know, obviously after Aaron Rodgers, he should be in the mix in the MVP discussion. Any kind of setbacks that you saw last week in their game against the 49ers, a tough, hard-fought loss for them, losing, I believe it was 27-20?
Yeah, I don't know if he played any differently in that game than he has the rest of the season. He didn't, you know, his final drive fell short at the end. They did convert a couple fourth downs on that last drive. So, you know, he's a clutch quarterback. He's got the highest passer rating, I believe, or second best in the league in the fourth quarter. And it's been great in the second half all season. And really this season, he's been doing it without any kind of run game at all. I mean, both Ahmad Bradshaw, who's going to be out this week, by the way, and Brandon Jacobs both have a yards per carry that's, you know, below 4 yards on the season so far. So their O-line isn't getting much of a push. The running backs aren't gaining a lot of yards. So it's been mainly on his shoulders so far this year.
Jimmy, that Giants defense probably going to be without Michael Boley at linebacker. What do you think the Eagles' chances are of taking advantage of this Giants defense, if obviously assuming that Vince Young is under center?
Yeah, first of all, I just heard on the radio. I live up here in North Jersey, so I was listening to New York radio. Michael Boley is going to be out for this game.
Okay.
Michael Boley actually is a player that the Giants brought in a few years ago. You know, they got sick of watching Antonio Pierce get torched by Brian Westbrook every time they had to face the Eagles. So they brought him in for big money because he was younger and faster, and they thought that'd be a better matchup against him. For the first couple of years, he didn't play – well, it's not that he didn't play well, but he was kind of like an average player for the Giants his first couple of years. And this year he's really turned it on. A lot of the Giants players say that, you know, he's the guy that's the least he's the guy on their defense that's the hardest to replace on that team. You know, for some reason, the Giants against the Niners last week, the Niners only ran the ball with their running backs 14 or 15 times or something like that. The week before that, when they played the Patriots, had a run-pass ratio of something like 2-1. But the 5 weeks, you know, prior to that, they had Reggie Bush, 103 yards, 6.9 yards per carry. Fred Jackson, 121 yards, had a touchdown, 7.6. Marshawn Lynch, 98 yards, 8.2. Beanie Wells, 138, 3 touchdowns, 5.1. And then you have Shady with 128, 1 touchdown, and 5.3. So that's a team that you can run on. It's just a matter of will the Eagles do it or not.
That's obviously a big question, especially back to that first matchup back in week three. I remember Clay Harbor said that they noticed that when they ran the two tight end set, that the Giants would counter with the nickel package, and they felt that they could run against it all day. And that's why going into the game, at least, they knew it was going to be in their mantra to run the ball against that Giants defense. So it'll be very interesting to see what they do, especially since they don't have a lot of veteran depth at linebacker with Michael Boley now. Looks like definitely going to be out for the game.
Yeah, and if you remember, Boley made that one play on fourth down in that key situation where they handed the ball to McCoy. McCoy bounced to the outside, and Foley chased him down and stopped him.
So do you think, you know, obviously we've said this before, lines up as maybe a LeSean McCoy game. Do you think that the Eagles will give the ball to Shady this game maybe 25 to 30 times?
Yeah, you know, I hope so. I don't understand why they didn't feed him more the last 2 weeks, frankly. You know, it's been well publicized that, you know, last week, last 20 minutes of the game, he only touched the ball twice. Week before that, against the Bears, only touched the ball twice in the fourth quarter. And, you know, those are the two games, obviously, where they had a lead in the fourth quarter. So, you know, why wouldn't you give it to your best player?
Right.
Well, going down to Dallas. It's, believe it or not, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, since that game against the Eagles, they've surpassed the Eagles in the standings. They're 5-4. Certainly they're going to have a keen eye on this Eagles-Giants matchup, but they have a big game against the Washington Redskins. They have played very well in the two games since the debacle against the Eagles. What has Dallas done to turn things around? Because all of a sudden now it seems like they might actually have the momentum here in the NFC East.
Yeah, they have a running game now. DeMarco Murray, over the last four games, has rushed for a little bit over 600 yards. So, you know, it's 150 yards per game. He's been huge for them. And when they get Felix Jones back, they don't need Felix Jones to be the feature back that they thought he would be, and evidently isn't. He can just now be kind of their change of pace guy that can come in on third down and catch passes and do those sorts of things. So, you know, that's a team that really teams around the league have, you know, really haven't had much respect for their run game over the past few years. Now you got to respect it a little bit. And once you start to respect the run game, you have, you know, obviously their weapons in Dez Bryant and Jason Witten. And they've had, you know, Laurent Robinson emerge as a really good player. Miles Austin comes back. That's going to be really formidable offense.
Jimmy, last question. I know earlier this week you looked at your preseason predictions. Obviously, you didn't expect, none of us expected the Eagles to be sitting at 3-6 through nine games of the season. But what are the other biggest surprises for you looking back at what you thought, how you thought the season would turn out?
Well, obviously, the Eagles being 3-6, and, you know, a lot of people think that their season's over. I would count myself, you know, among those people. You know, for them to be pretty much out of it after nine games is just completely mind blowing to me. And really, no, I don't think anyone really saw that coming. So that's the obvious one. I thought the Redskins were going to be a little bit better than they have been. They've had some injuries up and down their offense. You look at their offense, and you know, you look at their running back situation. You look at their receiver situation, you look at the quarterback situation, all three of those spots, bottom five of the NFL. And that's kind of being kind. you know, you wonder if they're going to win any more games this year or if they're even going to be able to put up 20 points in any game for the rest of the year.
And how many more times they're going to change their quarterback?
Right. Oh, they're up to two so far. And you wonder if they're going to try a third option if they get sick of the Rex Beck juggling. But, yeah, their defense is good. Shame for that defense because, you know, they're out on the field the entire game with, you know, Rex and Beck going three and out and throwing picks and you know, doing what they do. I kind of saw them as winning, you know, something like 7-8 games maybe. And obviously they're not going to get there. So that's been something else. The Giants obviously have been surprised with, you know, how well they've been able to overcome some of their big-time injuries. They've gotten really big play from Victor Cruz and Jake Ballard.
So certainly, definitely a different area. Was it Barry Cofield down in Landover, Maryland, who wondered aloud whether the Redskins would win another game?
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah.
So even their own players are starting to wonder at this point. They know it's a bad situation. And certainly when you do look at all those injuries the Giants had in the preseason, you did not think that they were going to be 6-3. But they managed to do it every year under Tom Coughlin. Very good in the first half of the season. You have to wonder if maybe that Niners loss would be the start of another second half collapse. So hopefully the Eagles can add to that this Sunday night. Jimmy Kempsky from bloggingthebeast.com. He also writes for Bleeding Green Nation. Thank you very much for joining us in the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once, and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day, grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it, snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life. Retirement isn't the finish line.
Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Hey, the truth is Sean, and he'll show you. Take her to the house again, Shady. No one moves like Shady. No one moves like Shady. No one moves like Shady.
It goes to McCoy. Up the middle. He's at the 30. 25. 20. 15. 10. 5. He is in.
I'm LeSean McCoy, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our postgame show presented by Rico.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
It is hard to believe. I thought it was just the players and coaches here. They don't think that, but just got to move on. You can't dwell on the past. You can't dwell on the record. Just got to control their own destiny by trying to win all the games out, you know, and see what happens from there.
You guys have been outscored in the fourth quarter by a large margin. I think a lot of people kind of blame the defense, but you guys have only put up 20-some points in the fourth quarter.
Well, did
you put a lot on your shoulders of what, you know, kind of putting the defense on the heels a bit?
Yeah, I think that one can just blame ourselves, I mean, especially the offense. Let me put a little bit more points up, you know, and stay consistent, especially, like you said, late in the game, fourth quarter. We want to, you know, put the team out, just run the clock off a little better and, you know, put more points up. So we're going to blame ourselves.
Given the quarterback position, they might need to lean on you some. So if they have to do that, are you the kind of guy that can,
well,
if they know you're coming, can you still gain yards?
Well, I don't look at it like that. I feel like, you know, I have my own piece, you know, to a successful game. You know, Deshaun and other guys can sell it and help out. So I don't really look at it as, you know, myself. You know, got to go against the Giants, you know, Giants defense. So I don't look at it like that. With the supporting cast you got around me, it's fun.
Are you guys better in short yardage than you were in the first half? And that was really the issue that day, it seemed like.
Well, I think we actually did really well for yardage. I mean, other than that, the big mistake I did. But other than that, I mean, you mean with the turnover then? I think we kind of got better with it. We also did better. You know, I think we have showed some improvement, but you know, we need a lot more room of improvement, you know, to get better at that, especially with the turnovers. I feel like lately we've done a pretty good job, but you know, still a little bit of mistakes. The turnovers have been, you know, costing losses. So I think from when we played them earlier in the season, I think it'll be a good game because, you know, we know how they play, you know, especially from short yards. And so, you know, we got a good fit that we can make some yards. And as long as we just don't turn over the ball, that's the biggest thing.
Marty called that D-line the best. Marty called that D-line the best in the league. It kind of fit in the way. I mean, it seems like they throw a lot of different.
Yeah, I would agree with Marty. We're pretty good, talented. A lot of different players that can play, you know. You know you have a good D-line when your substitutions are pretty good. You don't miss a beat. So, I mean, with Tuck, man, and Pierre, you know, can't see up front. You guys are pretty good. I don't think I get worn out. I think, especially in the fourth quarter, I've been playing fine.
Do you like it when you get a large number of
Well, it's only been a couple of games where I haven't won that many times, so it's hard to really give you an honest answer. You know? But I feel like, yeah. I mean, sometimes I don't need the ball that much. It works out because in the fourth quarter, I'm still fresh.
Yeah, I think you average 7.1 carry.
See that? I do good in the fourth quarter, man.
I didn't say you did bad.
I'm messing with you, man.
Why is that? Is it because?
I got to say it. Sometimes it works out where I don't want to touch the ball as much. So in the fourth quarter, when we kind of go to me, I'm still fresh. You know. And another thing is, like, you see the defense the whole game and kind of get a feel for them, you know. So, like, little stuff in the first quarter that was kind of working. You know, defense gets wore down. You know, running. We got so much to look over, you know, with our offense.
How much different a Vince Young would you expect to see in week 11 if he's playing as opposed to preseason week two? How much different of Vince Young would you expect to see now, week 11, compared to preseason week two, times like that?
Vince, he's doing good. You know, it's still a new offense, but it seems like he's mastered it, you know. On all the meetings, he knows exactly, you know, who to pick out, the protections. I think that's the biggest thing as a quarterback is knowing, you know, who's being picked up, knowing when you're hot, knowing when you're not. And it's like he's grasped, you know, that part of the game. So he'll do fine. I mean, he started, you know, all the places. So he's been a good player. I mean, he's just, you know, we got a very, very, you know, high depth, you know, quarterback position. So, but he's a good player. He's always been a good player. So he'll do fine. It's not like it's a rookie going out there, you know. So Deshaun's definitely a good player, and he'll do fine. Well, it helps me here because we have so many good players around me where I have to do as much. You know, we got Sean, we got Selig, you know, and those guys are big time players. You know, I feel like with myself, us three, you know, with Avant, it should be fine. You know, Vince Young makes plays with his arm and his legs, you know, so we don't miss as much, you know, from that position. So we should be fine, man. I think like games like this where guys need to step up, they kind of step up and make plays. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think you're right. I mean, especially late in the game. Because I think we do fine up until the fourth quarter, you know, instead of just finishing the game out. So I think it's a matter of just finishing the game out, you know, everybody on the same page. You know, and you're right. To kind of talk to each other, communicate a little better. You know, because I think it's the only thing that's kind of just haunting us from being a good team. I mean, only thing I think about is concentration, you know, focus and things like that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Almost time for Andy Reid's press conference. A little bit of leeway time, and you know what that means.
Oh, yes.
It's the best part of the week. Time for the inactive game.
Could you imagine if we built the entire Eagles Live around the inactive game?
Isn't that what we already do?
Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
It's all building up to the inactive game. Really the
crescendo.
Yes. And then Andy takes it out after that. So, all right, C-Mac, what do you got?
Let's flash the graphic because, quite honestly, I forgot what I sent to producer Ryan McCann a couple hours ago. There we go. With Vic most likely being out, I figure you go down that road. He'll be inactive. No surprise with Dunlap.
No confidence in Superman, huh?
Well, turn things around. I'm just going at this point. Okay. Vince Young's taking all the reps in practice this week.
Okay.
I think, again, we said at the beginning of the show, that's what you brought him here for.
This is your list. This is your list.
Of course. That's what you brought him here for. Your role with him. No surprise with Dunlap with the concussion. Rogers, Cromartie with the high ankle sprain. Macklin with his two injuries.
Sure.
Really no surprise there. Now, with Keenan Clayton, who was inactive last week.
No, he was active last week, wasn't he?
I don't think he was. I think he was inactive last week.
Okay.
Either way, I figure you're going to have a spot there. Because
I think he was up. He made some plays on special teams, I think.
Keenan Clayton, either way, is going to be more involved in the defense. You have an opening there. I thought Moses Fokou possibly because he's not in the starting lineup anymore. Even in the base defense, you haven't seen the Sam linebacker all that much. He's not in the nickel. He's not in the sub packages. But I figure you'd want him, the more experienced guy, if there's an injury on defense or on special teams.
He is a very good special teams
player. So I think Matthews gets the bump there. I kept Chad Hall, kept Steve Smith up there. That was one I kind of thought about
possibly. Steve Smith I considered as well because he plays Deshaun's position, but I guess you don't want to go just four receivers.
No.
And then the other interesting little tidbit there is Justice up because they don't have another backup tackle.
Exactly,
And then Vanderbilt down, who was active for the first time last week.
Jamal Jackson would, he's your backup guard and center, but then you always have Harriman you can put back at guard and then have Justice go out to tackle.
Now, I have six of the same. The only difference is you had Curtis Marsh up for the first time this week, obviously, because DRC is down, keeping five cornerbacks up in case somebody gets injured and you need to go to dime. I decided to keep Marsh down as opposed to Casey Matthews. I get the point for Casey Matthews, and I actually think that there's a very good possibility. Well, I don't have Matthews on there. No, Matthews should be off for me, and Marsh up. But it's a tough call. And then the other question was, I considered maybe Jaquay Parker down if you only go eight defensive linemen.
But yeah,
I think
Eli
you want
Manning,
those guys.
You gotta be
what's Jaquay doing if he's not contributing to the pass rush? And obviously, you want to get to Eli. So I think it probably does come down to either a sixth linebacker, Curtis Marsh, or a wide receiver. That's probably what it comes down to.
And it looks like it's time for head coach Andy Reid. Let's see the latest on Michael Vick.
All right, on the injury front, the two players that are out for this game are King Dunlap and then Dominique Rogers-Cromartie. We've got Jeremy Macklin, who's still he's listed as questionable and making an improvement here every day. And if he's cleared by Rick and the docs, then he'd have a chance to play. And the same way with Michael with the ribs. Again, he's questionable. So if he had a chance, even though they didn't practice, they're far enough along to where I'd feel comfortable with them playing. Brandon Graham has a rib contusion and is likewise questionable. He did practice and was able to do some things, but he's a little bit sore there. So, again, we look forward to the challenge of playing the Giants. You know, they're a good football team. Every time we play them, it's a knockdown dragout. So our guys have had a good week of preparation and, again, look forward to that opportunity going up to New York and playing against a good football team. Time's yours.
Any improvement in Vic from yesterday to today?
Yeah, there actually has. I mean, he's feeling a little bit better. I got to tell you, he's feeling great, but he's feeling a little bit better.
Graham get the rib contusion? Was that in practice?
It actually happened in the game, and we just a little bit sore. I don't think it's not a major thing. So, but we've got him as questionable. Yeah.
If Mike can find a way to go here, still in pain and everything, do you have to kind of work the game plan into things that'll work out for him? Is maybe more three-step drops and things of that nature?
No, I don't think I don't think he can do that. I think he plays, and you go with it. I don't think we'd do that.
Ever started on Sunday and not taking practice reps?
I don't think he has. Hmm. Yeah, I don't think he's done that.
Where is he compared to where he would have to be?
Well, he's got. I'm gonna just see. I mean, he made some improvement from yesterday, so we're just gonna, we're gonna see how it goes. Another day here. Vince is taking all the reps, so with the ones and if we have to go that direction, and we're good there. I feel very comfortable with Vince, and he's had a good week of practice.
Can you talk about Vince and how he's learned the offense and come along
all these weeks without seeing time on the field?
Yeah, well, he's worked very hard at learning the offense. And he spent a lot of time with Doug and Marty, and they've done a good job of with him and teaching him the offense. But most of all, he's been willing to spend the time. So he gets in here early and leaves late and comes back after dinner and hits it a little longer. And so he's doing some good things.
See out of Macklin in order to get him to play the game.
Yeah, really, it's the shoulders. Actually, the thing I told you wasn't. I thought that was a little more serious than the hamstring. So it's just a matter of him feeling. He ran today. It's just a matter of him feeling comfortable running. And so he's made improvement with that. And we'll just see how he does here the next couple of days. If he doesn't go, Riley jumps in and plays. Right.
Michael can't start. Would there be value to? Could you activate him to hand off if the other two quarterbacks got hurt or something?
Yeah, I mean, if that's – yeah, I've just got to see how he's doing. And that's a valid question, that'd be the answer, yeah.
Has Vic thrown at all on the side at all? Has he done anything like that? And also, is the decision solely up to him, or is it up to the doctors and you as well?
I think everybody, we keep it open communication. That's how we do it. And so that's how we'll go. I know he wants to play, and I understand that. So that's what he's shooting for. And then we got to make sure we check with the docs and Rick and see how things go. He hasn't thrown, no.
This looking, and will he start Sunday?
Yeah, Mathis feels pretty good. So that's a... I think he's ready to go, and he's taking all the reps and
backup.
Be Jamal. Yeah.
Be up to a game time decision with Michael as to whether he's able to go, or will you decide earlier?
I'm taking it day by day and just seeing how he does. He made improvement from yesterday, so I'm gonna see how far he goes into tomorrow. And we've just rested him. We haven't done anything, so he's just enthroned, and then he's come to all the meetings and. Done the brain work, but I just want him resting that thing and see if I'm not worried about him being in shape or anything else. He doesn't have to. Let's just see how if it calms down a little bit.
If the game was today, he wouldn't play.
Well, he didn't practice today, so I'd have to tell you, he wouldn't play today if we were playing.
The trip to New York, regardless.
Yeah, I'm gonna just see how things go tomorrow. I've told this to. Michael, Rick, I just want to see where he's at tomorrow and talk with the docs and talk with Rick and talk with Michael, and we've been doing it every day here, so keep the communication line open.
Thank you, Mr. Vince. Can you talk about just working with him over these months mechanically, and has it been a thing where you want to change a lot of what he's done mechanically?
I don't think you necessarily do that with a quarterback. I think he's been throwing the football a long time and done pretty good at it. And so the mechanics come from the waist down. I think you're not going to change a release when a guy's got that much time invested in working it. So the thing you can always work on, and this is all quarterbacks throughout their career, is the foundation that they build with their feet in that platform, that they keep that nice and balanced and stable.
When you list a guy on an injury report, whether it's questionable, doubtful, whatever, is there a criteria that fills each one? Because, or is it just kind of a judgment call? I think Mike is questionable, or I think he's doubtful. Is there something that you're supposed
to... Listen, I go off with the docs and Rick on it. So, they fill this thing out and then we talk about it, they give you the percentages and everything that you guys all know, so of possible playability.
Your backup quarterbacks over the years have had, going back to AJ and Garcia, even Mike when he came in as a backup, have for the most part done real well. What's the key to kind of having that kind of success with the number two?
I think we've been fortunate to have good players. That's important. And then Marty, the assistant coach, Marty, and whoever that quarterback coach has been, have done a nice job with that. When Brad was the coordinator, same thing. So But we were fortunate to have attracted good players and then be able to teach them the system. And
Do you get the sense that if he plays that Vince is very eager to show where he's come? Obviously, there were a lot of knocks on him before he came here, that he's kind of wants to prove that he's a better quarterback or as a developed quarterback.
Well, I think right now he would he like to play? Absolutely. I mean, he's a competitive guy. How much he's thinking about that, I can't tell you. I would tell you that he spent a lot of time learning the offense. I think that's making sure that he has the game plan down and knows the offense. And I don't think his mind's gone further than that. There haven't been any time for all that. So, but does it? Would he love to play? Yeah, competitive guy.
There you have it. Andy Reid gives us the injury report ahead of the game on Sunday against the New York Giants. Michael Vick and Jeremy Mathen will be listed as questionable. Sounds like a stretch, as Andy likes to say, that those guys will play, but obviously we'll wait and see how they improve over the next few days. Obviously,